This morning, Kevin, please come. God bless you as you stand before His people.
The honor is mine. It's a great privilege to be here. I'm thankful to meet the Lord's saints here. I'm always happy to meet my brothers and my sisters. John said it's a family reunion. We're here for a purpose, aren't we? And I'm nervous preaching to the people that taught me the gospel. Those things do weigh on me. This flesh, it hurts me. Confuses me sometimes. Makes me sweat. Makes me drink a little too much water. And I hope to please you. I hope to please the men that's training me. The Lord used faithfully to teach me things. But I want to please my Lord.
Amen.
That's who I want to. I hope I have a message that glorifies Him and promotes Christ. Today, I want to ask you a question. If you had a friend or a loved one that wrote a story about you or wrote a book with you in it, you'd probably want to read that, wouldn't you? I had that happen to me. A friend of mine wrote a book, and it was pretty well received. And a mutual friend called me and said, "Oh, did you read his book?" And I said, "Oh, why? I mean to." And I wanted to. I had a desire to. But I never got to it. And he said, "You know," he said, "there's a chapter in there and you're in it." It was about me. And real quick, I went and bought that book and I read it. I wanted to see what he said. There's a lot of bad things he could have said. You know, he knew me. But I wanted to see how that applied to me. And I wanted to see what he said about me. And I read it, and it gave me some comfort. He was kind to me. He didn't tell bad things that he could have told. But I was reading last week out of Luke 18, if you'll turn there with me. Luke chapter 18. And I thought our Lord uses these scriptures to tell us of Christ, but He comforts us with them. He lets us see ourselves in it and gives us reassurance and comfort. Luke 18, verse 35. "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him," comma, "they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace." I pray the Lord never allows me to tell someone to hold their peace when they rejoice in what Christ has done for them. I don't want to bring reproach on this gospel, and I certainly don't want to be a stumbling stone to someone. I know I will be, and I know I have. But all that's painful, isn't it? "But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." It's easy to read that and say, well, a blind man, a miracle was performed, he could see, everybody's happy. There's some points in there I saw that I've experienced. There's some points in there that every child of God have experienced. It's how the Lord works to save men and women. He meets us where we are. And He shows us what we are and shows us who Christ is. But firstly, I want to see us us to see that there was a need. This was a certain blind man. That's I always get a tickle when I see it in the Scripture. A certain man. Certain blind man who was sitting on a roadside begging. He was in need. No one had to tell that man that he was physically blind. He knew it, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
He knew it. His life was so altered because of that disability, he wasn't able to provide for himself. So he had to beg. And he was unable to provide. And he relied on someone else, on other people, for them. That's a good place to be. Helpless. I hope the Lord makes me helpless. I hope He makes me beg. There in Luke 18:35, it says, "And it came to pass that when he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat on the wayside begging." This man was blind physically, but he was spiritually blind. He was spiritually blind, just like me. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4 and verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And because of that, "for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Because of those things, because we're blind. We've heard the expression, the blind leading the blind. Don't follow me if I'm not following Christ. Don't follow a man. That's why I don't preach me, I don't preach you. We preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord.
Amen.
"But blinded the minds." The mind in the New Testament means the whole of me. By nature, we are blind to see ourselves as we truly are. We're blind to see Christ and His glory. But through Him giving us sight, giving us spiritual eyes, those eyes of the heart and those ears of the heart and the jaw, we see who He is. And we're drawn by the faith that He gives us to see Him as He is. We're made to see the things which are not seen. Those eternal things. Eternal God, His eternal work. Not just the physical blindness that we have, the spiritual blindness we have. We're able to see those Esau's that's been used. Alright? That scaffolding that the Lord uses to build His church. Look down at verse 18, 2 Corinthians 4:18. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." That's what I want to see. I couldn't imagine my life if I didn't have my sight. I had an eye surgery about 12 years ago. And I was telling David this yesterday. I had to wear sunglasses for 6 months, indoors or outdoors. And I got used to that. And I wore sunglasses here today. If I was going to drive, I had to. And I forget sometimes to leave them on top of my head. But there was a time for a few days there I couldn't see. I had a real trouble seeing. And I wanted my sight back. I needed that sight back to be able to function. How much more so do I need spiritual eyes? I'm interested in those things. Are you? This blind beggar was interested. In Luke 18:36, it says, "And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant." There was a need in that center, and there was an interest in that center. Turn over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Verse 27, Peter was told to go to the desert. An angel come to him and said, "You need to go to the desert between Jerusalem and Gaza," right? On that road. In Acts 8:27 says, "And he arose and went." He obeyed that. "Behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran. We saw that last night, didn't we? Paul was ready. Philip was ready. He ran. I hope I can run. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And that eunuch said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Philip got up and he said, "Move over, buddy. I'll tell you what that means." He didn't tell him what those scriptures were about. Philip got up there and told him who those scriptures were about. That Jesus. That's what those people told that blind man. That Jesus. That's what he told. And there in verse 35, Acts 8, 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." That's what he told him. Once we are born again, we're given life, and the Lord gives us discernment. He grows us in grace, and He gives us the discernment to distinguish these things, to hear a lie on our Lord, doesn't He? But once we have that, and we know a little bit, do we stop seeking to learn of Christ? Does that interest go away? Do we get to a level that we just can't grow anymore? Do God's elect still desire to know more of this old story, the salvation of Christ? If the apostles were here today, I would ask them some questions and then I'd listen, wouldn't you? If we had an apostle standing here, one, he wouldn't look like what we think he looks like. He'd be a little bit rougher than me. They'd have some calluses and scars, wouldn't they? But I would be interested to know in what they know. I look to what these great men used of God had to say. But you know, after Christ gave a lot of these parables, He would say, "Those that have ears, let him hear." And I'd read that and I said, "Boy, I hope I can hear that." You know, a couple of times, those disciples, those apostles, they went to the Lord and said, once everybody left, said, "What's that mean?" That's me. I believe that, but what's that mean? In Matthew 13, 36, Christ gave the parable of the wheat and the tares. And He sent the multitude away and went into the house. And His disciples came unto Him, saying, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." They came wanting to know, didn't they? They had an interest. Those great men had an interest. And you know what happened? Verse 37 says, He answered them. He sat down and taught of God. That was their pastor. God in human flesh preached to mere men. That is powerful. The poor and needy was preached to. That's my third point. That person that has a need, Lord gives them an interest. You know what happens? The Lord sends a preacher. For those disciples, He preached to them. In the old days, He said the prophets. And now, like Clay said the other night, He sends preachers. Mere men to tell. And like Paul said, we don't preach ourselves, preach Him. No. This blind man heard that commotion and he wanted to know what was going on. Something out of the ordinary was happening. He couldn't see, he could hear. A lot of people coming with him. And he asked those folks, "What does this mean? What was going on?" Men the Lord had made faithful preached to him. They told him what this event was. Look back there in our text in Luke 18, verse 37. The man asked what it meant. Luke 18, 37, and they told him. And here's what they told him. "That Jesus of Nazareth passes by." Not a false one. That one prophesied. That Jesus, the one told of in the Old Testament, in every type, in every picture. according to the Scriptures. That Jesus, that Savior. That's a miracle. What's happening here this weekend, if the Lord enables me to tell the truth of Christ, tell the truth about God, and the Spirit uses that, makes it effectual in your heart, and you rejoice in it, or you come to the knowledge of the Lord, or you're grown in grace through it. That's a miracle.
Yes, it is.
According to some religions, you have to perform two miracles to be a saint. I stood up here, this is the second time I'm preaching here, and I guess to them I'm qualified to be a saint if they see that as a miracle, but they won't, will they? Clay was right last night. Is God Almighty on His throne speaking to poor, needy men and women? Is that miracle being performed? Do we treat it like that? Is this where a miracle happens every midweek service and every Sunday? Our Savior said it did. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11 and we'll stay there. I may quote some more scripture to you, but we'll stay there in Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. In verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" So those disciples showed up, and they asked the Lord, "Are you who we're looking for?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see." He's telling them to go witness. A lot of people talk about witnessing. You know, in a court of law, if you're a witness, you just tell the truth. You only tell what you saw, what you heard, what you know. He tells them to go tell John which ye do hear and see. And here's what he tells them to tell them. The blind receive their sight. That physical blindness, the Lord had miracles where He gave them sight, but spiritually they're given sight. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor, those are all miracles, aren't they? And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Our Savior listed that with one of those miracles, physically and spiritually. It's a miracle that the poor preach to them. So in this blind beggar, he had a need, there was an interest, there was preaching of that Jesus to him, the true Jesus. And what happens after a sinner has this good news preached to him? They cry for mercy, don't they? Say they're in Matthew, but in our text said, "And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He declared that Son of David. In that time, that's saying, as the Scriptures declared, you're Him. He said, "Have mercy on me." This man approached God in a way to receive mercy. I looked at this a few weeks ago, and there in Matthew chapter 15. We'll turn over there. You all remember that Canaanite woman. Matthew 15 and verse 21 says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." That sounds about the same, doesn't it? That sounds like what I'm saying. That sounds like what he's saying, doesn't it? "But look, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, and he answered her not a word." She came with the right words, but she had a reason. There's a reason he needed to help her, wasn't it? He was to be debted to her. She was important. And it says, "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and saw him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said," and he's speaking to the disciples, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He said, that woman's not lost. Is that me? "Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." Well, if I said, Lord, help me, that would sound pretty good. She wanted help. She didn't want to be saved. She was doing okay. She just needed a little help. She needed a co-pilot, didn't she? And the Lord said, it's not fit to give the children's meat to dogs. Oh, how crushing. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She said, you're the master, and I'm not coming here with a reason you need to help me. I don't need just help. I'm a dog. What did he say unto her? Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. We call on the one that has the authority and the power to grant mercy. And he shows us that need that we have. And we know we're just dogs. I'm just blind. Like David's saying yesterday, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. He said, if you will. And he didn't even say nothing to him. He just reached over and touched him. That hem of his garment. And he said, I will be thou clean. And immediately, right then, that leprosy was gone. Immediately he was clean. All right, let's look back to our text here in Luke 18. Verse 40 says, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight. Mercy was provided. This man physically, he needed to have sight, and he was given that immediately, physically. Spiritually, he was given that sight through that preaching of the gospel and through the Lord touching him. When sinners are called, they are given sight immediately. Christ redeemed us. Because of that, the Father justified us. And because of that, the Holy Spirit notifies us. I stole that from Gabe Stoniker. I don't know who he stole it from, but that was good. That's the truth, isn't it? And that Spirit notifies us. When the Holy Spirit, that Comforter, comes, pierces your heart, quickens you, gives you life, gives you spiritual eyes, gives you those ears to hear, it happens immediately. Now, we may not understand what we see, but we know we see it. We may not know what we hear, but I know that I'm hearing. We saw last night about those apostles being called. Straightway they left their nets. Straightway they left the boat. And just like this one, immediately they had sight. And what did those apostles do? They followed him. Straightway they left the boat and they followed him. So what do we do next? If the Lord gives us these things, immediately gives us sight, that mercy's received. He's given mercy. We follow him, don't we? Luke 18:43. Immediately he received his sight and followed him. Just like Philip going to that road between Jerusalem and Gaza, he went. He didn't know why, but he arose and he went. Why did he do that? He believed God. This blind man was in need. He heard of Christ. He begged for mercy. He experienced and he received grace. And he believed Christ. I pray. That's something I struggled with for a long time. I was born and raised under faithful men that preached this gospel. And I grew up wondering, do I just know this in my head? Or do I know this in my heart? Do I believe? I believed and never had a problem believing there was a God. I never had a problem believing that man fell in the garden. But did I believe God? Did I believe I fell in the garden? I pray I can believe Him. But I hear His voice. He's given me those ears. He said, those sheep that's given me, they hear my voice and they follow me, don't they? I want to hear Christ's voice. I want to follow Him. I want to hear Him and follow Him. I told Clay this illustration a long time ago. I was in another country in the Middle East on your all's generous taxpayer dime. And I was up in a real high tower, and I had to watch a road for a couple of weeks. And every day, there's these little boys. They wasn't 10 years old, 12 years old. And that one would come from this way, and one would come from this way down the roads, meeting in the middle. And they had about 50 to 80, 100 sheep with each of them. And them sheep would just walk all around them. And them little boys would come down that road, and they would meet right in the middle. And they'd stand there and talk about 10 minutes every morning. They're just taking those sheep to the fields to feed, to eat, you know. And the first time I saw that, I said, oh, them little boys are going to get whooped. They had all their dad's sheep with them. And they stand there talking. Them sheep just intermingled. It was all over, just all around them. And I said, what's going to happen? I hope they're brothers. I hope that's the same flock, you know. And they talked a little while, and then they left. And so that one coming from the right kept going that way to the left. This one coming this way kept going that way. And they got out a little ways, and they whistled and clicked and threw a little rock and tapped that staff. And those sheep just come apart out of that big old group. And that one went that way the way it was going, and that one went that way it was going. How'd that happen? I got to see that. I heard it, and I saw it, and I thought, look at that. They heard the voice of that little shepherd, didn't they? And they followed him. A dumb old sheep, a stinky, smelly sheep, was able to follow that little boy. I pray I'm the Lord's sheep, and I can follow him. But what do sinners do after they hear that master's voice and follow him? They glorify God, don't they? It wasn't me. That sheep wasn't just so smart it knew it was trained that way. It wouldn't have made that way. Luke 18:43 says, immediately he received the sight and he followed him, glorifying God. That's how we follow the Lord. I want to serve Jesus. Have you served Jesus? Have you followed Christ? A lot of people ask me all kinds of questions, especially last year. Well, I don't know. Do I glorify him? It says he followed him glorifying God, didn't he? Psalm 23 says, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Why would he do all that? It says, for his name's sake. 1 Samuel 12:22 says, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. Because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. It's not of me. It's not of my making myself see. The Lord did all that and gave me that righteousness, gave me that holiness for his name's sake. If there's a reason in me, I have reason to be concerned. His reason is his name's sake. And I always thought that was precious, but my grandfather, it was William Bailey Thacker, and I'm Kevin Bailey Thacker. And my whole life, he said, that's my name's sake. And, oh, I didn't like it. I was a little guy. He was really old. And I didn't like being called his name's sake. Who's there? Because in Psalm 23 and 1 Samuel, it's L-O-R-D, all capital letters. God the Father. Who's his name's sake? Who's named after him, made just as he is? Same-blooded. Christ is it. For Christ is why I'm preserved. He does these things, gives me righteousness for Christ. And for that cause, how can I glory myself? We glorify him, don't we? Now, is he the only one that does it? This poor blind beggar. Somebody preached to me this gospel. I didn't lock myself in a basement somewhere and sit down and study, and just because of my big intellect, I come up with these and had discernment, and then somebody worked with me. Someone preached to me. They told me that. But then I hear that, and then I'm the only one that had that experience. How do other people that already knew these things, those that preached the gospel to me, those that told this blind beggar of that Jesus, what did they do? It says there in Luke 18:43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. They didn't praise him, did they? They said, oh, just that blind guy get up and walk over there? No. The Lord commanded him to come. Isaiah 25:8 says, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And he And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him, and we will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Every time the Lord saves somebody, we rejoice, don't we? Our Savior said in Luke 15, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 90 and non-just persons which need no repentance. Heavens rejoice. The angels rejoice, don't they? Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I can promise you, if the Lord has shown you your need, gives you an interest to hear these things, sends a man to preach to you, tell you the truth, has you beg for mercy, He'll give it. And after that, you'll follow Him, you'll glorify Him, and every one of your brethren with the same heart, they'll glorify with you to Him, won't they? I hope here this weekend we can glorify together to Him for His name's sake. I hope that's a blessing to you.